5:02, "The King Above My Shepherd Is," 10:05:02. Father, and with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated for the confession of forgiveness found on page 95 in the front of the hymnal, and make use of the kneelers if you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let's pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 840, 840. Thank we all our God. Hymn 840, verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Page of your worship bulletin or the first page of the readings and prayers bulletin insert. We pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. For Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah 25, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful, and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you, for you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled, On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wine strained clear. And the Lord will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all the peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. The Lord will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of God's peoples God will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for the Lord, so that God might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad in God's salvation." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmody is from Psalm 23, if we could read that responsively. A song of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures
and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord.
You lead me in right pathways for your name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I fear no evil.
For you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Eudoia and I urge Synche to be the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and so, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in the Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today, the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once more, Jesus spoke to them, the chief priests and Pharisees, in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm and another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not robed, and he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Maybe. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. You've heard me say before from this pulpit, because every 3 years we have this lectionary, that any time Jesus says, and Matthew quotes him in Matthew's Gospel, "the kingdom of heaven is like," that's a key phrase to make you think otherwise. The kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus and Matthew are referring to the reign of God. Okay, but that's even kind of very theological and very religious sounding. I, a more simple person, say, God is like. So when Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like, he's basically saying, God is like, dot, dot, dot. And here we've got another parable, the third in three, that Matthew quotes Jesus' chief priests and Pharisees about. All three of them have to deal with the chief priests and Pharisees and the fact that they are not following God's will, and so God is going to call other people. God can be compared to the king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. But all those who were invited to the wedding banquet would not come. Now the son, who's the son? Jesus, of course, okay? So God the Father is the king. The son is Jesus. The wedding banquet is our wedding banquet. Jesus is the bridegroom. You are the bride, the church. Okay? So a second delegation of church people, called slaves, are sent to those who are invited. Gold engraved invitations. I just had a conversation with one of our members this week about invitations, whether they're wedding invitations or baby shower invitations, whatever. They used to be gold engraved. Do you remember that? With two envelopes and a little piece of tissue paper in between so that, you know, the engraving didn't, you know, smush onto the top of the card. I love paper. I love those days when there were two envelopes and a piece of tissue paper and you knew you were really getting something in the mail. God has sent out wedding invitations to all his people. And the invitation and they went away. Some to their farms, some to their businesses, and others then took it upon themselves to mistreat the messengers, the slaves, or to even kill them. Now in the church, you know that the slaves and the messengers were the prophets, priests, and kings of the Old Testament, who were supposed to keep the people in line. Okay? Prophets, priests, and kings. And yet the chief priests and the Pharisees were some of the ones who went against God's will. They seized the messengers, they beat them, and they killed them. And so it goes on in Matthew 22, it says, "The king was enraged." We don't talk in 2023 about God being enraged. I think God may be enraged with what's going on in the world right now. Not only the war in Ukraine and Russia, not only the war in Sudan, but now the war in Gaza and Israel. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroy those murderers, and burn their city. He said to the church people, the slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. I've done two weddings this fall already. I've got one more coming up next month. And I thought about those weddings and who was invited and who wasn't and how full the hall was filled with guests. The second one I just did while I was in Oregon was on top of Mount Hood. Ha! Never been on top of Mount Hood before. There was snow, sleet, and rain for 5 hours. I was on top of Mount Hood waiting for this wedding to happen because they were waiting for the right sunlight for the pictures. Ha! There was no sunlight at all. We waited 5 hours in the rain and the sleet. There were no guests. There was no wedding party. It was the bride, the groom, I, the priest, two dogs. The bride said, "Well, I had a friend that just had their cat at their wedding, and they put the cat paw on the license." And the courthouse said, "That's legal. It's 2023, folks." The dogs didn't put their dog prints or paw prints on the license. They actually had a couple people to help drag in all the photography stuff for the photography. There was no DJ. There was no wedding dance. There was none of that. I spent the next day on the phone, afternoon and evening, talking the mother of the bride and the father of the bride off the cliff because they didn't know they were going to elope. They were happy I was there, but I felt like the devil because I didn't know for months it was going to happen. The mother was angry. The father had me in tears. I talked to him that evening and he said, "I always dreamed of walking my only daughter down the aisle." I cried. I said, "Chris, there was no aisle. Timberline Lodge, there was a nice fireplace and a big picture window. I thought, if it keeps raining and sleeting, let's do it inside. No, we walked a half a mile to a campground. I forded two lakes and a river, half a mile on Mount Hood, in my church clothes, church shoes. I wasn't wearing hiking boots." The bride had on huge boots underneath her Jean Harlow satin dress. 4 foot train on the dress, 14 foot veil with pearls all the way on it. She was gorgeous. She looked like the Princess Bride in the middle of the forest. I looked like the troll that came out from behind the tree. There was a big old growth tree that was about 5 feet in diameter. It lost all of its limbs in that. And that's where, that was the high altar. I looked like a troll. I've got pictures. I'll show you if you really want to see. She was gorgeous. The guy was in a suit. It was probably 2 years too old, you know, so he's kind of tight. The good and the bad were invited to this wedding. Everyone was there. It's a doctrine of election, or who does God choose to be God's people? All whom they found, the good and the bad, they invited into the wedding hall for the banquet, Timberline Lodge. The Gentiles even, okay? Not to get political, you know, I don't do that in the pulpit, but I've debated this. I had friends, the Reverend and Mrs. Dale and Elaine Scatrood. They were from Minnesota, the Holy Land. They got me to go to Jackson Hole. He was a mission developer. I was a mission developing pastor. They went as missionaries to Israel. And Mrs. Scatrood, Elaine Scatrood, she was the brains of the couple. She said, "You know, Pastor Beek, you can tell where Palestine and Israel are, geographically, politically, religiously, and all, by how they treat Palestinian Christians." Okay. Because Palestinian Christians were the minority. They are the minority. Palestinian Muslims, Palestinian Jews, Jewish people, Hebrew people, they're in the majority. And then we've got terrorists like the Hamas, which is a whole other sermon, and I don't preach that from here. But I think God can choose whomever God wants to the wedding banquet. And how the least of these is treated, the good and the bad, is very important here. It's a doctrine of election. Who does God choose to be a part of God's people? All whom they found, the good and the bad, were invited. The Gentiles, the Palestinians, the Israelis, the Christians, the Muslims, the Jewish, to come to the wedding banquet. The expected guests were absent. The chief and the Pharisees, chief priests and Pharisees, you know, the people in the temple and the synagogues, they were absent. They had other things to do. We don't need to be at God's son's wedding. We got a farm to take care of. We got business to take care of. Blue laws on Sunday? What does that mean? How many of you remember blue laws on Sunday, right? Yeah. We work on Sunday. We don't have to be with God. But it's not about universalism. And in case you think it is, then comes the next part. And this is the danger of parables and allegory and metaphor. Because it's like, this is God? Listen again. The next part, right on the heels of all the good and the bad and the ugly, we're invited into the banquet hall. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And the king said to the man, "Friend," that's important now, "friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless, the friend. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." What? This is the God that we worship, the God of mercy and steadfast love and compassion and forgiveness? The guy's now wearing a suit coat and he's thrown out? How many of you people, and I don't know if this happened in American Falls or in Pocatello or Idaho Falls, how many of you remember back in the olden days of the 1960s and early 70s when gentlemen who went to a certain restaurant that weren't wearing a suit coat and a tie were given a suit coat and tie? I see some heads shaking, okay? If you did not have a suit coat and tie and you went to the Sandpiper, nah, I'm not sure if they did this or not, but let's pretense. Sandpiper, or to Jaker's, and you didn't have a coat and tie, they give you one from the cloakroom. Now, in Ohio, there were a lot of restaurants like that, and they had little coats for little boys like me. They usually smelled like cigarettes and sweat. You would go out the next day and buy a suit coat so you could go to the restaurant again, because eating your meal with cigarettes and sweat was not very appetizing. That's what's happening here. And for 2,000 years, theologians have debated this portion of Scripture. You know, God noticing the guy has no wedding robe, and then there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and he throws him out. It means that we are supposed to be in relationship with God, to trust God, love God, respect God. This is God's wedding banquet for his son. This is the foretaste of the feast to come. And you don't even get dressed right for it? The kingdom of heaven, or God, is not just a free wedding buffet table. After 5 hours of being in the sleet and the rain on Mount Hood, waiting for a wedding and waiting for the sun to come out so they'd take pictures, because that's all they were going to have of it, because they had no witnesses and no family and no friends there. I said, "You better make sure all of your family and friends get a wedding picture for Christmas." And there were some good ones, I think. They sent me a couple of them. She looked like the Princess Bride in her Jean Harlow, satin off the shoulder, 4-foot veil with pearls. In a campground in the top of my hood that was closed down. We had to jump the gate. Yeah. And I waited there with my umbrella so she'd have something, because she'd curled her hair. She had cut her hair for the wedding. Long, beautiful blonde hair. Princess Bride. She cut it shoulder length and she said, "I'm going to curl it." I said, "Good for you." I didn't know how dressed up she was going to be. So I stood there with an umbrella and I gave her my umbrella and said, "This is for your hair." And Jesus and I walked behind her, getting sopping wet. The photographer was really angry because the umbrella wasn't clear. I said, "It's all I got, you know? I'm here for her." "Well, it's not a clear umbrella. It should be clear." I said, "Next time." There won't be a next time. It's not a free wedding buffet, because then they were going to eat at Timberline Lodge in their big restaurant. And I was invited to be a part of that, because I was the priest. I had, you know, driven 10 and a half hours to be there. Yeah. The people helping him set up said, "It took us 45 minutes to get here from Portland, Oregon. How long did it take you?" I said, 10 and a half hours from American Falls, Idaho. "Where is that?" "On the other side of the world." I wish I would have stayed, because I ate at the bar. I hadn't eaten all day. It was now 3:00. And the wedding was going to start at 3:45. And so I thought, well, I'll grab a sandwich at the bar. And that marvelous pastrami sandwich on chia butter bread with French onion soup, and I could go on and on. I'm going to go back just to eat there someday. God is not just a God of a free wedding banquet. God is not a God of cheap grace. We'll call the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll call everyone from the streets to be part of the guests. But they should honor and trust and love and respect God enough to even put on the coat that was given to them. It's been said by some theologians that at wedding banquets, if you didn't have a wedding garment, a wedding robe, they provide one for you. Forget about just dressing the grooms and the maids of honor. Whoever came to the ceremony got a robe. This guy wanted a free lunch. I'm reading into this now, but he didn't even put on the free robe that was given to him. He didn't put on the smoke-ridden, sweat-stained suit coat and the clip-on tie. I even saw people with t-shirts that put clip-on ties on their t-shirt because they didn't have a collared shirt on. It's like, are you kidding me? But the restaurant let them do it as long as they had a suit coat and tie. He didn't even respect the king enough to put on the wedding garment they gave him to wear. And how do we know that? Because the guy saw him and said, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? Everybody has one. The guy was speechless. He had no comeback. Why? Because he was there for a free lunch. He was there for free grace. He was there for free forgiveness and free love. And he needed no relationship with the bridegroom or the king. And God says, no. Love me. Honor me. Trust me. Respect me. And I'm there for you. When have you ever been to an event where someone is not clothed appropriately? Think about it. We talked about it in Sunday school, and everyone had an answer. A wedding, a rodeo, a concert, a celebration, a funeral. So inappropriate when I've gone to the rodeos here in town, because I'm dressed in my preacher clothes. And that's not what people wear to the rodeo. They deck out the boots and the jeans and the hats and the shirts and whoosh, better than any Sunday go to meeting kind of outfit, right? When have you ever felt inappropriately clothed at an event? The clothing we are to put on at the great wedding banquet is Jesus Christ himself. We are clothed at the baptismal font, okay? We are clothed in that white pure garment where our sins are washed away. Even boys 100 years ago would wear a baptismal gown, they called it, with lace and frills and everything. That's why our confirmation students, when they confirm their faith, wear a white robe, is to remember their baptism and the fact that they've been clothed in Christ. And it's Christ, the bridegroom, who allows us to trust God, love God, respect God, and honor God. And so Christ prepares the garment for us and provides the garment for us in our baptism. I don't need that thing. I don't need baptism. I don't need communion. I just want a free lunch. I heard the food was really good. They killed the fatty calf, after all. Tri-tips and prime rib. Whew. This is a fancy wedding. To be clothed in the wedding garment is to be in relationship with the bridegroom, to be in relationship with God, God's self, and to show just a little respect, even if it's a clip-on tie on a t-shirt with a sweat-stained, smoky suit coat. Trusting, loving, respecting, and honoring the bridegroom as well as God is what it's all about. Accepting the invitation, come to the feast. Come and receive all that I have to give you. All you who are good, bad, and ugly, come. It's just not for the chief priests and the Pharisees, the good Jewish people. It's for the Palestinians. It's for the Muslims. It's for the Christians. It's for the Jewish people. It's for all of God's people. Come and eat and feast. But how many of us refuse to accept the call? How many of us refuse to accept the invitation? Oh, I'm
so many other better things to do on Sunday morning. That's the one morning we get to sleep in. That's when we started Sunday school on Thursday nights. I've teachers who have written me letters and called me and say, you've got Sunday school on Thursday night now? Isn't that kind of weird? I said, no, it's Sunday school, Thursday nights. Because literally, two families from our congregation were honest enough with me and God to say, we don't get up early on Sunday morning for nothing. Sunday school, worship, the feast, we're not going to get up for that. But Thursday night might work. It's the end of the school week for us. Ha! Those were the days. We had five school days in a row. And we now had, what, five times as many kids on Thursday nights in the past 3 weeks as we ever did for 2 years on Sunday morning. We had three kids for 2 years every Sunday morning. We had four teachers. Some of you are sitting here, right? We had enough teachers to teach all the kids, but three of them showed up, only because they were children of two of the teachers. We now have 15 kids showing up on Thursday nights for a meal, and it's a good meal. Families provide it, yeah? And to understand who God is and how God loves us. It's a wonderful thing. We've invited them, they've come. But we're not going to come on Sunday morning. That's the one day we can sleep in. You're talking to the choir here, folks. I joke with you, and I joke with my colleagues, that only for God do I get up early in the morning. I'm not a morning person. Forget that. Call me at 11 o'clock, I get my second wind. I go to bed at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm awake, call me. People usually do. I get one or two phone calls a week from the bar. Pastor B, they're closing. I need to talk to you. Okay. How many of you accept the invitation? How many accept the call of God to come and feast and be forgiven and be loved and be cared for? I don't need that. I don't get up early on Sunday morning for nothing. What about cheap grace? We are here for you. God is here for you. But God expects you to be in relationship with God and the bridegroom, to trust and love and respect and honor. Are you one of the good, the bad, or the ugly? I was the troll on Mount Hood. Amen.
Thank you.
you to rise for the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal, and for the prayers of the church. We confess our faith in these same words, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, in the prayers of the church, we pray for in the church our Bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Megan Manlove. We pray this whole month of October for our Willow Bay Baptist Food Bank here in American Falls. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine and Russia, the war in Sudan, and now the war in Gaza and Israel. We pray for all people who have lost property and lives due to these wars, and also due to wildfires, hurricanes, flooding, and earthquakes. There have been more earthquakes this week across our world and killing many people. We pray for all people in the fields and on the roads during harvest season, and we pray for their safety. Rebecca Mann, who died, her funeral will be in the middle of November, back in the Midwest. She is the niece of Marita and Neil Poulsen. So remember Rebecca and her family in our prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. God, you who are gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abide fast love, teach your church in this and every land to share the mind of Christ and to strive to live together in peace. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. God, help us to remember that even the humblest parts of creation are precious to you, even still waters and green pastures. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the fields. We pray for all lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, wildfires, earthquakes, hurricanes, or flooding. Let all creation around the world know that you are in right relationship with them. Christe eleison.
Christ.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas of the world. Gaza, Israel, Sudan, Ukraine, Russia. Promote peace across the world. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show mercy, compassion, hope, and love to one another. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Mercy for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Your steadfast love, your grace, and your mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment, and give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all faithfully a part of. We give you thanks for Willow Bay Baptist Food Bank, AF Daily Bread, Meals on Wheels, and the scouts were gathering food items for all those who are food challenged, hungry, and in need. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially this day, we lift up Rebecca. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our issue for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy, new life, and hope in you. Christe eleison.
Christ, have mercy.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you will do far more for us than we can ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And always.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all who are visiting here with us today in person and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to G.R. Long. Happy birthday this week to Richard Kress, Laverne Putnam, Jill Gehring, Mary Morkel, Carletta Brading. Happy anniversary to Dustin and Sandy Webster. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections to those one found there? Apparently not. I do know that he has the rodeo awards listing next week, but it's this week. I know that.
No, I'm getting interrupted.
Okay.
Three announcements. I call your attention in the bulletin. You each got the Scout food drive. Share that with family members, friends, whatever. There are extra copies on the usher's table. You also got in your bulletin the article, announcement, from our bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, whom we pray for every Sunday. She's the presiding bishop of the ELCA, the Lutheran Church in America. I agree with everything she said. If you wonder what I think, I agree with Elizabeth. Take that home, read it. She did a great job of discerning who we pray for and why we pray for them. And then the third announcement, last week, a number of people at Coffee Hour said, what is that thing in the bulletin? In the prayers of the church, the Kyrie eleison and Christe eleison, what does that mean? You say the meaning right after I do, okay? For those of you that don't speak Greek or Latin, it's from the Latin church, okay? Some of you remember suit coats that smell like sweat and cigarette smoke. Thank you for remembering that. I do remember that too. But back when the church was all in Latin, they used Kyrie eleison and Christe eleison, Christ have mercy. So through these fall months, we're going to be making use of that. So you know new language, Greek and Latin and English. But that's what it means. The meaning's right there. You respond with it. Go ahead.
I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Thank you.
are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts of ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with the great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymn.
please rise for the blessing, the prayer, and the post-communion canticle? The blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn 208, and then the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Hymn 208.
Praise to you, O God of mercy. Hymn 542, O Living Bread from Heaven. Hymn 542.